Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank everybody for coming. The topic for this evening's lecture has received a lot of discussion in the public eye, both from legal perspectives, human rights perspectives, social perspectives, and tonight it's going to be examined through the prism and the eyes of halakha. Rashi at the beginning of this week's parsha, Parshat Mishpatim, comments on the phrase "Ve'ela haMishpatim asher tasim lifneihem." These are the laws which you shall literally place in front of them. So Rashi says that God tells Moshe, "Don't think that you can, share details of a halacha just once or twice and say, 'Don't worry, everybody will get it.' You have to be able to prepare and teach in such a fashion where it's considered as if Shulchan Aruch Lifnehem, a prepared table is set, and the individual has to just go ahead and chapanash from everything that has just been prepared. In other words, offer enormous detail in your presentation and repeat it and present it thoroughly. If I had to describe our guest speaker tonight, that's something that he does incredibly well. Present a topic thoroughly. We will be here till next week. There are 62 sources in his typical fashion. I am sure he will try to select some of them. But it gives me a great pleasure to introduce somebody who is a dear and respected colleague of mine, somebody who grew up in this shul and now is the Mara de Asra of Zichron Mordechai and the Rosh HaYeshiva, the Boys Yeshiva High School of MTA. Gives me great pleasure to introduce Rabbi Michael Taubes.
Thank you very much. Brishus, the Rav Mardas, Rav Adler. My thanks for his kind words. And nobody should panic. We're not necessarily going to go through all of the sources, but you're welcome to keep these sheets afterwards if you'd like to look into certain things on your own and engage in some further research. Yesterday in the Parshas HaShavua, Parshas Yisro, we learned the Aseres HaDibros, and the third of the Aseres HaDibros, which is printed in the first source, in Shmos Perakov Pasuk Zayin, Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashov, Ki Lo Yenake Hashem Asher Yisro Shmo Lashov. One is not supposed to take the name of God in vain, and that God will not cleanse or will not forgive somebody who takes his name in vain. And is understood by Chazal to refer to somebody who swears in vain, takes what we call a Shua Shov. There are different types of oaths in halacha, a shua sheker, when a person says something which is a lie, but there's a separate category called shua shav, which is understood to be derivative of, or to be learned from this pasuk. And the Mishnah in Masechah Shavuos in the second source on Daf Chof Tesem and Aleph raises the question, Ezohi shua shav, what's an example of a shua shav? So there are actually several examples, but one which the Mishnah gives over there is Nishba l'shanos es hayadula adam. The person swears that something which is known to everybody is not so. A person takes an oath and he says something which obviously is not true, which everybody knows is not true. For example, the Mishnah says, Omar al ha'omot shel evan shehu shel zahav. Somebody sees there's a pillar that's obviously made out of stone or out of marble. He swears it's made out of gold. So anybody looking at it can tell it's not true. That's an example of a shua shav. And the second other example is v'ala ish shehu isha v'ala isha shehu ish. Somebody swears about a man that he is a woman, and someone swears about a woman that she is a man. The point of the Mishnah is that's called a shua shav because it's obvious that that's not the case. It's so it's using God's name in vain. It's pointless, a pointless oath. And that's how the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Shuas Perek Aleph Halacha Dal, the third source, shua shav nechlekes the arba machlokos. There are four different categories of shua shav. We're only interested right now in the first one. Ha'achas shenishba al dovar hedu she'en kein. Somebody swears something. It's so obvious it isn't so. Ketzad Kegon shenish ba'ala ishu, isho ba'ala isho, shohu ish. A person swears about a man that he's a woman, about a woman that she's a man. Ba'al amud shol shayish u shol zav. You have a marble pillar that he says is made out of gold. V'chein kol keretz, or anything like that. And the Shulchan Aruch as well, in the fourth source, in Yaradeh, Simen Reish, Lam, and Vav, Sivdal, Nishba, L'shana, says, Hedu, L'odam, Kegon al ishu, isho, al isho, shohu ish, chayv, mishum, shuvu, shav. So one of the classic examples which the Chazal present as a vain or an empty or wasted shrua, a useless shrua, somebody swears that a man is a woman and a woman is a man. I'm not so sure if these halachas be written today that those would be the examples one would pick. I don't say this to be facetious, but it seems clear from this presentation, from this Gemara, and from the Rambam, from the Shulchan Aruch, and so on, that there are distinctions between men and women which are obvious, and that's the way it is, and that's the way it should be, and any blurring of those distinctions would seem to be against what Chazal assumed as a davar pashut, is the way things are, and the way things are supposed to be. That's what emerges from these sources. Indeed, the Torah itself tells us in the very beginning in Parshas Bereishis, in source number 5, Bereishis Perek Aleph Pasuk Chav Zayin, by the creation of man, it says, Vayivra Elokim es ha'odam b'tzalmo b'tzelem Elokim baro, so zohar unakeva baro osam. In the very beginning of creation, this is the sixth day of creation, the day of the creation of man, the Torah reports to us that men, women, male and female were created. That's the way things were from the very beginning of humankind, the beginning of the creation of the world. And the Gemara comments in Maseches Bava Basra, in the next source, Daf Ayin Dal and Bay, source number 6, Amar Yehud Amar Rab, Kol ma shebara kadosh baruch hu ba'olamo zochar unakeva baram. Everything which are all the living creatures are kadosh baruch created in the world, he created male and female. So it's clear from the presentation at the beginning of the Torah and what the Gemara derives from there, that there are this distinction between male and female, that they're not the same, they're not meant to be interchangeable, but there are clear distinctions, and that's considered to be the natural order. Indeed, there's an interesting passage in the Gemara. Mimar Masechus Shabbos tells an interesting story and Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan, the source number 7. Tana Rabbanan. Ma'ase be'echad shemeso ishto v'hinicha ben lianek. A man, suddenly his wife died and she left behind a little baby that had still been nursing, and now there was nobody to nurse the baby. V'lo hayo lo schar menika liten. He couldn't afford the money to hire a wet nurse to be able to nurse this baby. Didn't have any money to pay for wet nurse. So a miracle befell this person, apparently a righteous person, deserving of some sort of a miracle. And so this man developed breasts like a woman, and he was able to nurse the child. That's the story that the Gemara records, Shabbos Nun Gimel Beis. Amar Rav Yosef, Bore Kamagoro Aram Zeh, Shenas Halonez Kazeh. Rav Yosef, when he heard about this, exclaimed how great this person must be, that he merited such a nace, such a miracle, something Shalom Kederach HaTeva, something against the natural order, that he was able to develop breasts, able to nurse and save the poor child who otherwise would not have been able to have been nourished. However, Amalo Abaye said to Rav Yosef, on the contrary, Adarabba, Kama Gorua Adam Zesh, and Ishtanu Lo Sidra Bereshis. How terrible, how embarrassing, how bad, that this person, the only way HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to help him out, was to overturn the laws of nature. L'chora, Abaye meant to say that there probably would have been other ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have performed the miracle. He could have performed the miracle. The guy should win the Powerball lottery and have enough money to pay a nursemaid. Or he should dig up a treasure in his backyard or something. It wasn't necessary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many, many different ways to help people. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this particular thing, that it was Nishtanu Sidrei, Nishtanu Lo Sidrei Bereishis, in the Gemara says. And that's what Rashi explains in Source 8. Nishtanu Olov, the Lo Zocha Ali Patech Lo Shariskar, he was not zoche to some other means of acquiring money to be able to hire a wet nurse in a somewhat more normal fashion. So you see that in the eyes of Chazal, a man to develop female characteristics is considered, according to Abaye, Kama Garua Adam Zeh, this is something which is against the way things are supposed to be. Somebody called my attention to the fact that today, this weekend, the New York Times, this weekend's New York Times, in the fashion and styles section, says as follows, an article is dated January 30th, 2016, yesterday. What happens when 334 linguists, lexicographers, grammarians, and etymologists gather in a stuffy lecture hall on a Friday night to debate the lexical trends of the year? They become the unlikely heroes of a new gender revolution. That's what happened here earlier this month, anyway, at a downtown Marriott, where members of the 127-year-old American Dialect Society anointed they, the singular gender-neutral pronoun, the 2015 word of the year. As in, they and I went to the store, where they is used for a person who does not identify as male or female, or they is a filler pronoun in a situation where a person's gender identity is unknown. So now we have a new word in the English language, and it was won the award. I don't know what the award is exactly, but the word of the year in 2015. We need to accept they, and we need to do it now, shouted another linguist hidden behind the crowd. And there are various linguistic points, and there are references to transgender spokespeople like Caitlyn Jenner, formerly Bruce Jenner. People my age and older will remember Bruce Jenner from the box of Wheaties and from the cover of Sports Illustrated. I remember the cover of Sports Illustrated said, when he's not well known yet, said, who is Bruce Jenner? Why is he the greatest athlete in the world? That was before he won the decathlon in the Olympics. And on-screen depiction like a show called Transparent, the Emmy-winning Amazon series about a family patriarch who comes out as transgender, or even from Miley Cyrus, who has said that she identifies as a pansexual or sexually fluid. I'm not sure what that means, because pan is a very broad term, so I'm not sure what other options are included. But in any event, the idea is that sexuality and gender are much more flexible. And there's a whole article about this and how this is being used. There were different words used, different suggestions. I just brought in more sources of people who want to use their own papers. Thank you. So in any event, you can read this article yourself. This is considered to be a something which is now part of our culture, part of our society. Towards the end of the article, it mentions Facebook now offers 50 different gender identity options for new users, including gender fluid, bigender, agender, and so on and so forth. Again, I invite you to read the article in today's New York Times. And so, this is something which in our society today has become, as Rabbi Adler mentioned earlier, it's been analyzed from psychological points, and now we have to add in and historical and other things. Now we have to add in from linguistic and grammatical points of view as well. This, of course, is not our way. I should just, for clarification purposes, there are actually specific definitions, which I'll share with you from the American College of Physicians position paper on LGBT issues. This is the Annals of Internal Medicine, May 12, 2015, less than a year ago. Definitions: transgender, umbrella category for people who do not conform to typical gender roles, e.g. cross-dressers, transvestites. That's transgender technically. Transsexual, gender identity inconsistent with birth sex. In other words, assigned sex conflicts with psychological gender. Next is transsexualism, desire to live as a member of the opposite sex, usually accompanied by a sense of discomfort with or inappropriateness of one's anatomic sex. This is from the DSM-5, that's a diagnosis, those who are doctors know, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. This is removed as a pathological diagnosis. Transsexual surgery is sex reassignment therapy, surgery or hormonal drugs to make the body congruent with the preferred sex. Gender dysphoria is the politically correct DSM, again that's the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual, DSM-5 description that transsexuality is not in and of itself a disorder. Transsexed are individuals who have undergone and completed sex reassignment surgery. So again, we see in front of our eyes going on right now in the medical world and the linguistic world and other worlds as well, breaking down of certain barriers. And as Rabbi Adler suggested, it was asked of me this evening to address it from a Torah perspective. Again, from one point of view, we see the Torah makes a distinction, as I mentioned before, in Parashas Bereishis, between Zohar and the Keva, and that's considered to be the natural order. We point out that the Psukim in the beginning of Bereishis, these are not mitzvahs, and these are not things that pertain specifically to Jews, but they rather are what's understood to be the natural order, and the natural order is Zohar and the Keva, Bara Osam, or as the Gemara says, in Baba Basra, again, back in source number 6, Kol Ma Shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu Olamo, Zohar Nekeva Bira'am. So what's the issue then? How do we view in halacha somebody who wishes to have such a procedure, such an operation, to have organs removed, organs added, and so on, all of which is now possible in terms of medical advances? So we'll examine a number of sources. Interestingly enough, we do find, we'll go through this briefly because it has an interesting point that I want to bring out at the end. We look in source number 9, the Pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Vayetze, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Leah Imenu, Leah the wife of Yaakov, had already had 6 boys, and the Pasuk says, V'achar Yoldo Bas V'atikra Shema Dina. Then she had a daughter, and she named her Dina. Rashi comments in source 10, Dina Perishu Rabosenu, said the word Dina comes from Din, judgment. Perishu Rabosenu, said Dona Leah Din Ba'atzma, Im Zezochar Lo Tehe Rochal Achosi Kachas Ashrochos, V'ispala Olav Anepach Unakeva. Lo and behold, the first sex change operation. Leah is pregnant with a child, it's a boy. She realized if she has a 7th boy, they knew, the Imahos knew, the Nevuah, they knew it through prophecy that there were going to be 12 sons, that they, the 4 of them together, would bear to Yaakov. Leah already had 6 sons, Bilhah and Zilpah each had 2, and Rachel only had 1, and Leah understood that if she now has a 7th boy, then her sister Rachel will have less than anybody else. She didn't want that, so she was mispalel, and this child who was a male turned into a nekeva. That's hence the name Dina, from Don and so on. The Daz Zekenebala Tosus, on that Pasuk in Vayetze, Paraklam and Pasuk Chafalov, in source number 11, the Daz Zekenim says, Pirish Rashi, Ashadona ba'atzmi shayisam uberis mi Yosef al yedei tfiloso nes nishalak b'dina. Originally this was the male that was going to be Yosef, and it changed into Dina. And the diuk is, v'yesh lomar, v'deloksi v'tar v'telet ele v'achar yoldo bas. Mashma b'shas haleda hoysa bas, alo b'heiroin. The diuk is, v'achar yoldo bas. It's not the usual expression which the Torah uses. You can look up the by way of comparison, the Torah's different ways to describe the pregnancy and the birth. Here it's V'achar Yoldobas. Later on, afterwards, she gave birth to a daughter, the way it's presented. But by the time she gave birth, it was a daughter. But originally, it was a son. Okay, that's what the Balei Tosfos points out. This is all based on Midrashim, some of which I printed over here, the Medrash Rabbah and Bereishis Rabbah. There in Vayetz and Parsha Ayin Beis Simon Vav in source number 12, there it's a different versions of exactly who was mispalel what. The Medrash Bereishis Rabbah there in that source says Achayol Abbas Amalo Ika Briyosa Zachar Haisom Itzvilaso Shal Rochel. It was a tefillah of Rochel. Shomra Yosef Hashem Li Bein Acher. When Yosef was born, she named him Yosef. Means to increase. Let me have another son. That's the name Yosef means. It was her tefillahs that caused this to happen. That's how the Medrash over there says it. The Medrash Tanchuma, a different Medrash in source number 13, has it the other way. Again, there's a din related to this because the Medrash says. And that next source 13, Parshas Vayetze in Siman Ches, Yilam Dena Rabbeinim Hoisei Ishtum Uberes Malshi Spali Ratzon Shetelet Ishti Zohar. A man finds out his wife is pregnant. Is it mutter and halacha to daven for either for a boy or for a girl? We have a concept that we spoke of before about Shua Shav. There's a concept called Tfila Shav. Lechora wants to, you know, at a certain point, the baby is what it is, so to daven for something that you can't change anymore, that would Lechora be a tefila shav. That's what the Medrash Tanchum is talking about. So the Gemara says, no, it's tefila shav. However, one opinion says, no, because na'eno kain, alafilu ad shah shateshev alamashper, until she's on the birthing stool. Kadosh Baruch Hu can make a switch, and the proof is from Leah, and the Medrash goes on. We don't have to read the whole Medrash. You're welcome, as I say, to keep the sheets and look through the Medrash yourself. The Medrash there says again, it was the tefillah of Leah that did this, not the tefillah of Rachel. Different versions. The Yerushalmi discussed this in Brachas Perek Dalel of a Gimel in the next source, number 14. The Yerushalmi also discussed this halacha, whether you can daven, and the Yerushalmi says, at least according to one opinion, until the woman's on the birthing stool about to give birth, despite you may have had the various amnio or other types of investigation to find out what the child is, it can still change. Maybe they didn't know about that, but whatever, it can still change until she's on the birthing stool. And that's what the Yerushalmi also says towards the end there. It's Me'achash Nispala Rachel. It was a tefillah of Rachel. Our Gemara, the Bavli in Brachas, in source 15, Samach Amar Aleph in Brachas, Ha'isayish to Mubaris, Omer Yiratzon Shetelet, etc. Ha'rezu Tefillah Shav. It's a Tefillah Shav. It's a Mubaris, Aloma Hani Rachami. What do you mean? Why can't you daven? Mosiv Rav Yosef, V'achar Yoldo Bas, V'atikosh Modina, Mai V'achar. The Gemara has the same Joshua. It was her Tefillah. The Gemara concludes, Ein Maskirin Ma'aseh Nisim. can't learn anything from here anyway. That's how the Bavli concludes in Brachas Daf Samech. Can't learn anything. This is a Maisa Nisan. This was the Imos. It was a special circumstance and so on. Okay. So whatever it was, you understand from these Midrashim that, as I said, the first sex change operation we know about was the baby that was inside the womb of Leah, and based on either her tefillos or Rachel's tefillos, maybe both their tefillos, this girl, this boy became a girl. What ramifications does this have? So it's interesting. The Torah later records in source number 16, Parashat Vayishlach, Parashat Paraklamadal, Pasuk, Alavateitze Dina Basleya Sheyodol Yaakov Liros Bibnos Art. This is when Dina was a little bit older, exactly how old she was, but she was a little bit older, and she went out to socialize and so on with Bnos Haaretz, and it's called, she's called there Dina Bas Leah. Then she got in trouble with Shem. We all know what happened after that, right? The brothers ended up massacring the whole city. In any event, the Rashi there comments in source 17, Dina Bas Leah, Velo Bas Yaakov, El Hashemi Tziyosa Nikras Bas Leah. She was called Bas Leah because she was like her mother. Her mother was a Yatzonis, and she went out all the time, Vateitze Leah, so she also went out. But the Alshech, that's what's important for us tonight. In source number 18, Moshe Alshech, one of the commentaries from the time of the the 1500s, the Beis Yosef and so on. So the Alshech writes as follows. What's the idea of Ateitze Leah and so on? Who he Ateitze Dina rather? He ties them together, right? Who can know them? Rabboseinu Zal, the Gemara in Brachos we just mentioned, Al Pasuk, Achayod Abbas, Ki Bein Haisa. She was originally a boy, which means what the Alshech is saying, that she had male tendencies, so to speak. You know, she turned into a girl based on those tefillahs or whatever, but she maintained certain male tendencies. El she'achor harosa, after she, the mother became pregnant, so she was zohar, so bikshol erachim, etc. Tisapach and a keva, and so and it says the dina b'harosa haisa zohar shesapach achar kach v'lochein misha shorsha zohar eno min atemo tiyeh atzonis kichein yasu azchorim v'chol dober holech achar shorsha. Fascinating comment from the Alshech. It says that even though physically she was transformed into a woman, and that was dina, she maintained certain mental or psychological tendencies that made her more like a man. She did things which were more acceptable or more associated with men. That's Vateitze Leah, and that's why she went out, Vateitze Dina rather, because she was originally a Zohar, and that's why it says, he says, that's why it says Vateitze Dina Bas Leah. She was only Bas, she wasn't really Bas Yaakov, because when Yaakov impregnated Leah, it was a male. So she wasn't really Bas Yaakov, she was only Bas Leah. Of course, Yaakov was still the father, but that's the remez, he says in the last line there. He says, Bas Yaakov, hu beleidach lo behe roin, hu omra Bas Leah, she yodol Yaakov, and so on and so forth. So that's what the Alshech says. In any event, it's an interesting early source of something to do with sex change, but it does indicate this idea, at least according to the Alshech, that there can be a male with female tendencies or a female with male tendencies. I think that's a point that's somewhat fascinating, written as it was, close to 500 years ago. In terms of the actual issue, as I say, in terms of having such an operation, so the Torah tells us later in Parshas Emor, source number 19, Vayikra Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Chav Dalet. It says, I printed all the Rashis. They wouldn't have to read every detail in Rashi. But this is a pasuk in Chumash which disqualifies animals that have had certain organs tampered with from being offered on the Mizbeah. Okay, and amen. Ma'uch v'chasu. Just look at Rashi, the first Rashi in source number 20. Again, it's Vayikra Parakov Beis Pasuk of Dal. Ma'uch v'chasu v'nasuk v'rus bebeitzim ubegid. Because the testicles or the sex organ and so on have been cut or tampered with in different ways. And again, the details and then subsequent Rashis, all kinds of different examples of what the pasuk means. Not the details aren't important. It says you're not allowed to offer these as karbonos. And then it says ubearzechem lo sasu. That's the end of Pasuk of Dal in source 19. Ubearzechem lo sasu. You're not to do this either. Not only can't you offer it as a carbon, can't you offer an animal that has had sexual organs tampered with, but you also cannot do such a thing. And later on, Pasuk Hafei, Umiyad Benecha, Osigil Lechem 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 Kol Elekim Mashchasombahem Mumbam Loretzulachem. It's considered a type of blemish that disqualifies it as a carbon. But if we take a look at the last Rashi in 20, Artzachem Lo Sasu, Dovar Zei, now I do this, Lesare Shum Behema Vechayav Afilu Tmeya. If a person read the psukim, so it says you can't offer these animals and you can't do this. one could conclude you can't do this maybe to an animal which is eligible to be brought as a korban. What about an animal which is not eligible to be brought as a korban? It's a behemoth tameya, right? That only kosher animals can be brought. Only certain animals can be brought as sacrifices. So maybe this iser that's learned, this prohibition of artzachem lo sasu, to tamper with the sexual organs, maybe this iser is only upon animals which are eligible to be offered as sacrifices. So Rashi explains it's not true, right? Everything, Lerabos, Kol Asher Ba'artzechem, anywhere in your land, anywhere. And then the Gemara goes on, the Rashi goes on to say, it's not just Artzechem, don't think maybe this is only in Eretz Yisrael, but not true somewhere else, it's true in Chutz Arts as well, because the Chovas Aguf, it's a personal obligation which applies everywhere, it's got nothing to do with the land of Eretz Yisrael. The Sifra, that's the Halachic Medrash, we have different types of Medrashim, most people are familiar with Medrash stories, that's the Medrash, Medrash Agoda, we call it. Many Medrashim tell stories and give ethical lessons and so on, homiletical derivations from Psukim. But we also have Halachic Midrashim called Medrash Halacha. Medrash Halacha reads very often like a Mishnah or a Gemara. Well, like a Mishnah, it's in Tanoim, right? So the Medrash Halacha on Parshas Emor there, Vayikra, is called the Sifra, or sometimes called Toras Kanim, it's the same thing. It says, this is an actual derivation, like it would read in the Gemara, it's in Perek Zayin, Halacha Yadalav, Lo Sakrivu, Ein Leila Shalei Akrivu, Minayin Shal Yasu, Tamad Lomar, Lo Sasu, Ein Leila Tamimim, Balei Mumin Minayin, Tamad Lomar, Lo Sasu. Again, those who are familiar with the style of the Mishnah and the Gemara, it's exactly the same style here in the Medrash. The Medrash learns, basically, the upshot is, without the details, is that it's not allowed to do anything that tampers with the sexual organs of any animal, whether in Eretz Yisrael, not in Eretz Yisrael, whether it's an animal eligible for korban or not. The Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Yud Aleph Beis in 22, Sholos Ben Zoma Maulus Haruse Kalva. Can you? Bring this up now, but someone wants to neuter or spay a pet or something like that. So the Gemara raised that question. L'Saruse, can you remove the sexual organs of a dog? Now, there are differences if it's being done for the animal's well-being and everything else. I'm not going into that now, but spaying and neutering is a problem. Ask your friendly local rabbi if you want to have the issue comes up. But Lamaisa, according to the Gemara Chagiga, you're not allowed to do that. Rashi there says, because, again, Sirus is mentioned by Karbonus, and a dog, not only you can't offer a dog, but there's something called Mechir Kelet. You can't even offer money. You can't use money that was used for selling a dog. You got money for the dog. You can't use that for a carbon. Either fine, but at the end of the day, it's all lo sasu kribo. Rashi says kribe lo se asu. It shall not be done, not by you, not by somebody else. You can't hire a guy to do it, and so on. Atosis learns it from a different derivation. Doesn't matter. Take a look in the bottom of the page 27. The Rambam Hilchos Isurim Bia Perek Tes Zayin Aleph Yud Asur lahafsid evare zera. It's forbidden to damage or destroy the seed producing organs. Bein ba adam, bein ba behema chay ba ov. And so on. But it doesn't mean only Artzachem. Again, the same thing. You're not allowed to do this. Humans, animals, you're not allowed to do anything that damages the reproductive or the sexual organs. And the Rambam concludes, this is an Isser, like any other regular lav, any regular negative transgression in the Torah for which you get Malchus and so on, that's an Isser. So that's talking about the male sexual organs. What about in the case of a woman? So the Sifra, that same section in the Sifra in Parag Zion, there in Emor 28, it says, in Halacha Yud Beis, it says, actually machlokes, but it says that mum bom, and the Rambam paskins again and Ilchos Yisur Bia Perek Tazayin Alef Yud Alef 29 Bahamisaris Zanakeva Bein Ba'odam Bein Misharmin is Potter. Okay, the Rambam says you're Potter, but like in Hilchos Shabbos, it means we call Potter Aval Oser. You don't get Malkas because it's not, you don't get lashes because it's not specific in the Pasuk, but it's still forbidden. The Magid Mishnah clarifies that there on that Rambam in Source 30. He says I'm sorry, it's a parak tezayin of this is Rabbi Aleph Yud Aleph Masaris and Akeva. He quotes the Torah's Kanim. Anyway, he says he says it's an Isser because it doesn't say that it's Mutter, it's Usser, and therefore our rabbi, the Rambam, said it's Potter, but it's Potter of Usser, and that's how we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, source number 31, Eben Ezer, Simon Hay, Sif Yud Aleph, Usser, Lahavsi, Devorah, Zerah, Bein Ba'odam, Bein Ba'odam, Bein Ba'odam, Echotmen, Echotmen, everything, Vichol HaMasaris, Lokim, and Atar, Mikol Mokom. Yom. And at the end, he writes, "Bein Rodom and Duchayev Chayv Olf Amisaris and Akeva Bein Rodom and Sharminim Potter Avo Oser." So, point number one in terms of the operation, quote unquote, the sex change operation. So, this is forbidden any kind of tampering with the sexual organs of a male or of a female. Again, it's more stringent with a male because it's more specific in the verse, but it's by women as well. It's Potter Avo Oser. Okay, you're not allowed to do that. So, that would rule out, effectively rule out any kind of sex change operation being allowed in terms of halacha. In addition, we find another issur that relates to this in source number 32, a pasuk in Parshas Ki Tsetse, Dvar Perakov Beis pasuk Hey Lo Yechli Gever Al Isha Velo Yubash Gever Simlas Isha Ki Sova Hashem Al Kech Galois Eile. A man should not wear women's clothing. A woman should not wear men's clothing. This is considered an abomination. And the Gemara says in Shabbos and Daf Tzadi Dalet Umodim Chamal Bezeb Melaket. It's not just clothing, but Melaket Levonos Mitoch Shchoros. A man has gray hairs, so he wants to pluck out the white hairs out from the dark hairs. So the Gemara says this is not permissible, and that's not only it comes up in Shabbos. So it's not allowed to do it on Shabbos. It's not allowed to pluck hairs on Shabbos. But the Gemara says on Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis, this is also afilu b'chol, af b'chol aser mishum shenemar lo yilbash gever simlas isha. And Rashi explains in 34, the second line of that Rashi, Simlas Isha, it's not just women's clothing, but Derech Hanoshim, Lahakbid Al Kach, all this now. Women are usually more concerned about gray hairs than men are, so this is considered to be a woman's type of practice. As we'll see momentarily, it's somewhat societal, it somewhat depends upon where you live and the time, as does the issue of defining clothing. I mean, you know, in Scotland, men wear kilts and so on around here, so that would be considered cross dressing or whatever, but depending on where you are. So, but in any event, the Gemara is assumes, at least in that time, so plucking out the hairs and so on and so forth, with gray hairs, that was Derech Hanoshim, says Rashi, L'Hakbid Al-Kach, or at least now is to dress themselves up and so on and so forth. So that's not considered proper for a man to do. In addition, the Gemara says in Nazir, Nun Tes Samad Aleph 35, Yikud Amri, Amr Chibar Abram Yechim Hamavir Beis HaShechu Beis HaErba. Okay, cutting pubic hairs, hairs under the arm, hair in the pubic hair, and so on, is lokum ishum le'elbesh gever simas isha. It's also under this prohibition of wearing women's clothing. In other words, what you see from these gemara, it's not just a matter of clothing, it's a matter of doing things which are associated with the opposite sex. And the gemara says it's a discussion, whether it's the raisa or the rabbanon. And at the end, we have the Gemara says that it's a toeva based on the pasuk. You look at the second to last line there in 35. It says because it's the one reason people do it is simlas ish v'yeshev bein hanoshim v'isha simlas ish v'teishev bein hanoshim. People do it because they want to. A man wants to dress up as a woman because he wants to hang around with women. A woman wants to dress up as a man to hang around with men. It's indicative, at least it was at that time, of certain sexual promiscuity, which the Torah wants us to stay away from, and even mentions that women should not go out with weapons. Minayin shalot teitza isha b'chleizan al-lachoma tamar lamerli kleigever al-isha olivash gever simas isha shalayisakein ish b'tikune isha. Men go out with weapons and arms and so on and so forth. Women don't. Again, that's a question. It's actually dealt with today by Poskim in terms of women serving in the army. We're not interested in all the details. Now Rashi again says in 36, Nozin and Tessamon Aleph, Ika the Amri, he says again, isha darka b'kach. This is women. Women like to remove the hair from their underarms and so on and so forth. And that's not considered a male practice, it's a female practice, and all of these things are similar. Same thing with the weapons. In fact, Rashi in the next page says, you know, he brings a raya from Novi that women don't bear weapons, and that's why in the story that we had just last week in the Haftarah. So Yael, Eshes Chever HaKeni, you know, when Sisera was running away after the battle with Devorah and Barak and so on, so Sisera was running away, the general who was fighting against the Jews, and there was a woman there named Yael, and so she invited him into her tent, and she got him sleepy, and she fell asleep, and he fell asleep rather, and she took the peg of the tent and drove it into his head. Why don't you take a sword? She didn't have weapons, right? Women don't have weapons. So that's what Rashi is medayik. Okay. The Rambam brings this lahalacha in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, Hilchas Avodah Kochavim, Parag Yud Beis, Halacha Yud 37. The Rambam writes, Lo sadeh isha adeh ish, A woman should not wear men's types of garments and so on. Kagon shatasa brosha mitznefes or kova or tuba shirion. Again, types of hats and garments associated with men. Okay, or to cut their hair in the way like men cut their hair. And veloyad isha ad isha. A man shouldn't dress like a woman. Kadol yida yilbash big day tzivon and certain very colorful types of clothes. And the Rambam says b'makom shein lo shinoso akelim. If it's in a place that that's not common. And the end of the second line, the Rambam writes hakol kaminig amedina. It depends what's common and where you live, and it's not an iron-clear rule. It depends what the society recognizes male clothing and female clothing and so on. So that's what the Rambam points out over there. These dinim appear as well in the Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeus and Kuf Pei Bei, starting in Sif Aleph. Again, if you're removing certain hairs and so on, again he clarifies the end of the first line in Sif Aleph. B'makom shein marino so elanoshim, provided that's the only practice associated with women and not with men. He shouldn't want to be follow the women's practice or vice versa. And all of these things again are brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. So if it's usher to identify oneself, okay, with the opposite sex by means of clothes or various other things, so obviously to undergo a physical transformation would also be usher. So the question now is, okay, so we've determined that it's usher under ordinary circumstances to engage in transsexual surgery and so on. The question now becomes, well, what do we do? What is the status of somebody who's done it already? That somebody did it, they weren't supposed to, they didn't do it. We'll talk about a case later where somebody underwent the surgery and then later on decided to become observant and became a Baal or Baalas Tshuva, as the case was, and now wants to become part of the society. How do we interact? How do we relate to such a person who has has undergone this procedure? Again, I established based on these previous sources that it should be also to perform the operation, but the question is, what is the status of such a person? And it really touches on many, many things. I have with me a sefer called the sefer Dor Tahapuchos. Dor Tahapuchos means a backwards generation. That's a pasuk in Parshas Hazino. Ki Dor Tahapuchos Hema. This was written in Eretz Yisrael by Rabbi Idan ben Ephraim from Bnei Brak. It says the Tavshin Samach Dalad. So it's about 12 years ago this book was written. And he has a lot of the information about this subject and related subjects, about certain types of operations, and also about transsexual surgery and what to do about cloning and different things, an interesting sefer. So he has, let's say a woman undergoes a sex change operation, so she's like a man. So what happens with an obligation of tefillin and tzitzis? Or to wear a yarmulke, to dress like a man, and so what happens in all these cases, or vice versa? A man has an operation to become like a woman. What happens to the chiyuvim that he has been observing all the years? That's among the different things that he discusses. So it's interesting. There's a possible early reference, very early reference, to such an idea. In terms of, and of course, what happens in terms of sexual relations? What if the person is married? Do you need a get? Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, was married. So what's the status? I'm not Jewish, but would you need a get and so on? So this is actually discussed. But a possible early source, there's a pasuk in Parshas Achrimos, where Yikra Perik Yudches, pasuk Chav Beis, Ves Zohar Lo Sishkav Mishkeve Isha Toevo Hi. This is the prohibition against having homosexual relations, and it uses, with a male, you shouldn't have Mishkeve Isha relations in the manner one normally has with a woman. That's considered Toevo, an abomination. So the Ibn Ezra there, on that pasuk in Achrimos, source number 40, the Ibn Ezra, his trouble, he quotes Rav Chananel. I assume it's the same Rabbi Chananel. I don't know. It says V'yomer Rav Chananel Zal Ki Yesh Mi Sheyichadesh Begufo Ketzuras Besar Isha. There's a way. This is artificial. They didn't have these operations, but through some sort of artificial procedure, I don't know, some kind of an artificial orifice or something, that Yesh Mi Sheyichadesh Begufo Ketzuras Besar Isha V'zelay Tochen B'Tolod. It can't be done through. It can't be born that way. But apparently, the Rabbi Chananel and as Ibn Ezra goes on to explain, it's bothered by the phrase Mishkevei Isha in the plural. Different types of relations. So he says this is not a normal relation. It's also included. It would still be considered sodomy. It would still be considered homosexual relations, even though the partner has had this, again, whatever he means, I don't know. He comes some kind of way. He's a male, but he comes up with some type of way to have an opening similar. It's not through the rectum. It's not, it's not the shaloka daka. It's a different type of opening or something that's similar to the woman. However, actually it happens. So there you have possibly an early source And it's still considered Mishkav Zohar. That's the point. It's still considered a homosexual act, even though this man that the Ibn Ezra is talking about has created some, through some artificial means, some sort of female property, however exactly it works. But the Ibn Ezra understands that it's still considered to be a Mishkav Zohar. In terms of a get, there's an interesting question. We won't spend that much time in the next few sources. The question would be, let's say somebody's had this procedure, you know, you wouldn't, let's say it was a man that had the procedure to become a woman. So the question is now, can you actually marry such a person, or Kiddushin Tofsin, or he remains a man? These are the questions. Okay, so we don't have specific reference. The Trumas Hadeshin, 41, it's one of the Rishonim, in the Psalkim Uksavim section, Simon Kuf Beis, talks about the following interesting case. Eishas Eliyahu Navi. You know, Eliyahu Navi, the Torah tells us, Elijah the prophet, Eliyahu Navi, he didn't die normal means. He suddenly went up in some kind of a storm and he disappeared into the heavens. We have a tradition, he comes back on Pesach night, he comes back to Brises and everything else. But whatever it is, Eliyahu Navi, so what's the status of his wife? Can she remarry? Could Eliyahu Navi's wife remarry after he didn't die? So maybe she's still considered an Eishas Ish. He didn't give her a get before he disappeared, as far as we know. So, that's the question. Oh, Eishes Meshur ben Levi. The Gemara tells a story. Meshur ben Levi, the great one of the early Amoraim, the borderline Tana Amora. Meshur ben Levi was jumped into Olam Habo. He somehow was getting a tour of Gan Eden. He jumped in while he was still alive. See, then the question was, what happened? What happens to his wife? So the and who cares with the Nafkamina? Shumas Hadeshin come up with a similar case. Well, I don't know. Maybe we have now a similar case. But in any event, the Shumas Hadeshin says Ishto. The wife of Lot, she didn't die, she turned into salt. So does she have tumas meis? All these interesting questions. Okay, he says they're not necessarily theoretical. In any event, he says, since the iser of prohibition to have relations with a married woman is Eishas Re'ehu, so that's not Eishas Re'ehu because Eliyahu became a malach, so it's not called Eishas Re'ehu, and therefore she's not an Eishas Ish, and therefore she wouldn't need a get. That's how the Trumas Hadeshin says, the Beis Shmuel accepts that la'halacha. The Minchas Chinuch ties this up in 43, the Minchas Chinuch, the Shmuel Beis Shmuel is in Simon Yud Zayin of Eben Ezra, and Yud Aleph, he quotes this Trumas Hadeshin la'halacha. The Minchas Chinuch, this is technical details, I'm not going to spend that much time on it, the Minchas Chinuch ties it into the question of whether Kiddushin would be valid or not. It says basically the question is whether Kiddushin or valid. Well, in this kind of a case, okay, for a woman, let's say, to marry a man who has now has taken female characteristics, so the Kiddushin wouldn't be tofes, and therefore perhaps you wouldn't need a get. That's what some want to suggest based on a Gemara and Yavamis. Again, I'm going to skip the next few sources because it's rather technical, but it's only in situations where the marriage would be valid. If you already had the marriage, you require a get. Again, a technicality, and that's a question that those who disagree, Shlomo Kluger in 48, the Chachma Shlomo disagrees with Shumas Hadesh, and so does the Bechana Wasserman, or he leaves it with Tzarech Iyin. In any event, the issue of marriage, the issue of divorce is an issue certainly which comes up. I have here, it's not in the sheets because it wasn't in the computer, but I have here a copy of a tshuva from Dayan Arya Grossnas, the London Besdin, Tshuvas Lev Arya, Chelek Bey Simon Memtes. He writes, Upashut to have a be'emes vaday zachar, someone who had a male a sex change and still remains a male. Utzricha get min atara. Ve'ishto eishes ish. The woman remain an eishes ish and ain la takonai deshetasi get mimeno. This man who now became a woman has to give. In the case of a Jenna has to give the wife. If they were Jewish, would have to give the wife a get. That's how Dain Grossman's paskins in that tshuva. And he says, "Vavadai bofen zelo nishapech lios nekeva, vavadai zochahu ve'eno isha klal." And therefore, he said, "At least to get misafik." One of the people who moved now to source number 50. One of the people who really dealt with this matter at some length was the Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer, Lazier the Waldenberg, was a dayan, a posek in Yerushalayim. He was the chief halachic authority for the Shari Tzedek Hospital in Yerushalayim. He was the go-to person. He wrote many volumes of tshuvas, a little different style than our Darkin Psak. But in any event, in the tshuvas Tzitz Eliezer, let's look at number 50 in some detail. Chelek Yud Simen Chof Hei Perakov Vav Os Vav Mechkor Godol Yesh Amnam Lachkor Behecha Shemischol Shinu Mahusi Organi Begufo Shel Adam. What is the status of some kind of organic change to a body? Someone underwent one of these procedures. Kigon benishapech mizochel in the keva ola hefer. Somebody changed from male to female reverse. Ukefi sheshamat, and he died a few years ago. Okay, but he writes, "Ukafisha shamati v'gam nisparsem al kach b'kisa eishonim." I've heard about this and read about this in certain journals and so on and newspapers. Mivatzim k'hayom gam nituchim k'ela b'mikrim yuchadim. I've heard that they can actually do it. Again, this is when it was first becoming possible medically. I've heard that they do these operations. He writes in parentheses, "They're kamavon nadirim." Nadirim. It's obviously very rare. I don't know, maybe it's less right now. Anyway, v'shinima usi kazeh notrim be'emes harbe bios hanogos l'kviya zehuso v'yichudo ha'ishisho anosh kazeh. This type of procedure, again, we discussed that it's also, but if it's done, it poses, he says, major problems in terms of the status of this individual. And he quotes, his therapist to quote a lot of Swarm, including Swarm, which people are not that familiar with, and so on. And he has a case in the second paragraph, towards the end of the second line of the second paragraph. Beruvein shenoso isha achas psulof Kachas Benos Yisrael. A guy named Reuven, you know, John Doe, married a woman like any other normal woman. V'hoya imo kiderech ishu isha. And they lived together as husband and wife. V'acha kamashonim kara la mikra. And he says something happened. V'nishtanish minakeval azocha mikol bako mikol kol. She turned completely into a male. Ma'u adin lezo shoyse nekeva eishes isha nas azocha. Im tzorech Reuven zeh legarsha beget kadas Moshe Yisrael. They have to give a get. Kegon kevon shoyse ishto eishes ish. Odilma ein atzricha kevon shoyse. Another isha, what are you going to give him? Get to another man? She's already has male characteristics, so you're going to give her a get? Doesn't make sense. On the other hand, maybe you do. So in any event, he says, "V'inyan shelo seinu near the load tzarich get the zocher who ato velo isha." So Eliezer seems to say that it goes by the external nature of the person, and this person is now a woman and not a man. I'm sorry, is now a man and not a woman. So you don't give a get. The language of the get is you give itzo, right? This woman. Now, what woman? It's not a woman. That's what he says over here. And not only that, but the language of the get is that now she can go marry any man. Harayat, right? Can go marry any man. Can go marry any man. She is a man. Well, it doesn't make any sense. So therefore, he says he feels at this point you don't need a get. And he says, the Isha's next paragraph, the Isha Zos Isla Simonim Harbe Shugever Ish Bechush Haru'us Lene Ako. Everybody sees, looks like a man. The Lo Tzvicha Get the Zos Ena Isha Ki'im Ish Mamish. That's his presentation here. Well, then he deals parenthetically exactly what bracha does this person recite in the morning. Shalo Asani Isha. He didn't make me a woman. What do you mean? What should the bracha? What exactly should the bracha? So listen to this. He says, "In Nirali, the Shchaomer Birchas Hashachar Ain't Omer Shalom Asana Isha Mishum De Karnases Isha." Oh yeah, now she was already a woman, but now is not a woman, right? So what's she supposed to say? She was made a woman, but she's not now. So he has a strange nusach bracha. I don't know. You make up your own bracha. He says, "Bracha Tosman Kamacham Shafchani Leish." Change me into a man. Okay, I don't know if he means that halacha l'maisa, but an unusual bracha to make up your own nusach bracha. In any event, he deals it again at length with this issue, and he brings some of the riots in the case that I mentioned before. In any event, so that's one place where the Tzitzi Eliezer deals with it and seems to say that the status is determined by the outer appearance, what it looks like, and if this person has had the operation and this is now a man, then he or she is formerly she is to be treated as a man. In a different tshuva, on the next page 51, tshuva is Tzitzi Eliezer chelik yud aleph siman ayin ches shelo sihi aleph. Ha'im, this is written by a certain Dr. Schussheim, wrote this question to the Tzitzi Eliezer. Shelo si, my question is Aleph. Ha'im l'chal mutar l'hapos min ha'yilo sh'mechinen genetis ha'inu zochel in a keva. Now, this is a little bit of a different case because this is a baby was born with certain both characteristics and so on. We do have in halacha what's called an androgynous, an androgynous, right? Has both qualities, or a tumtum, which has neither qualities. That's what's talking about here. And that was the question that was asked. Is that genetically this child that was born in the hospital had male, and they want to make her into a female because she had some of those characteristics. Ha'im b'mutar, ha'im mutar b'mikash. But he did have one part of the male sexual organ. So everything else was female. That's the way the child was born. They wanted to cut out the one male organ because mostly the child was female. That's what they want to do. You're allowed to do that. That was a shaila. I said he was the posek for Shari Tzedek Hospital. So this was written in Tovshin Lamed Aleph. Okay, as a date over there to the Rabbi Shusheim. And he writes, if he died in Aleph, he said, no, the person is to be considered in the keva, And again he says, a key line, Harei lemaisa ha'ivarim ha'minim ha'chitzonim nirim etzlo ketz on the keva, because all the outer organs, the visible organs, are like a female. And he writes on the third line of that middle paragraph there in 51, the key of his opinion at this point, ki ha'ivarim ha'chitzonim ha'nirim la'ayin hu ha'koveya b'halacha. That's what he says over here. Okay? There are those who question whether he meant this in that particular case, an unusual case, he meant it all the time. There is a differing opinion from one of the Sephardish Gedolim, Ravadia Hadaya, in 52, Chuvas Yaskil Avdi, Chelek Zion, Chelek Ebenezer Simon Dalad, Ravadia Hadaya died in 1969, one of the Sephardish Gedolim, and he says, no, you have a male undergoes this status. He writes, Umamesh Chayev B'chol HaMitzvos HaTorah Kanoshim, remain obligated in all the mitzvahs like men. Okay, the chamosh anoshim asurim b'siris, the same thing with androgynous and so on. He says basically the gender is determined by the original chromosomes and not by the outer manifestations and so on. And he says certainly we shouldn't allow such an operation. So that's his opinion. Later on, the Tzitz Eliezer in a later tshuva in 53, chelak chav beis simon beis. What's the story here? This was written to Mordechai Eliyahu, the previous Sfadi, two times ago, I guess, the Sfadi Rabbi Rashir, Mordechai Eliyahu, Rishon Lutzion. That's who Tzitz Eliezer was corresponding with in 53. Alodas Mishanisha, Mashanisha, Mechutzos, Bidvar Shenepach, Legamri, Lisha Madino. And here he says, Barsher Al Kain, Irlan, Daiti, Shebemikra Shalafanenu, Yesh lo seis lo din androgynos atumtum. He's kind of maybe backs away a little bit from what he said before. So you have different opinions. Basically, there's a go with Tzitz Eliezer, at least in a couple of places, seems to go that the status is determined by the outer, the visible organs, as opposed to the chromosomal makeup and so on. In this Sefer Dor Tapuchos, he has, just to read to you, just for interest. From the very beginning, he has a sikum ha-halochas, and he just deals with all kinds of the cases, and he tells you what he thinks the halochas in each case, in terms of chiyav mitzvahs. Okay, what type of clothes should such a person wear? Good, so we're going to say that it goes by either A or B, the outer, but should the person wear men's clothes or women's clothing? And obviously there are differences. He talks about which section you sit in, the men's section or women's section. Right, the person, you want to say that it goes by the chromosome, but this person has female, Caitlyn Jenner was, I think, named by Vogue, one of the magazines, the Woman of the Year or something, the last year. So she has a female, so she's going to daven in the... Not going to daven, assuming they're Jewish. Should the person looks like a woman, but we say it's still halakha, can you imagine daven in the men's section? Does that make sense either? Well, what section are you daven in? What about tzitz and tefillin, birchas ha-shachar, counting towards a minyan, serving, getting aliyah, yard site, serving a shiv tzibur, kaddish, all these issues, counting towards a mezumin. Kolisha, okay? It's very interesting. 2 weeks ago, let's see if I can pull it up. 2 weeks ago, I was sitting at a chasana with, 3 weeks ago, I was sitting at a chasana with Rabbi Schechter. And we're discussing issues, at the table, other Rabbanim were there, and we're discussing issues that come up, and I was joking, I said, certain things you're not going to look in the Chassam Sofer and the Noda Behuda, classic poskim, because they didn't, didn't deal with these questions while I was there, okay? I'll see if I can locate it. While we were sitting there, I'll say it, you'll trust me. While I was sitting there, I got a text from somebody who said, Rabbi, he just got this question from his daughter's friend. She's a student in a certain college, a secular college, and apparently one of her apartment mates or something, a suite mates, whatever exactly they're called, roommates in the bigger sense, right? It feels that she's not really a girl, feels like a male, and is now transitioning to become a male. What's the story with Yichud and Negiah? I showed it to myself sitting there. Just as we're talking, this came over, hot off the wire. These are questions that are coming up today. Somebody asked me recently what the Yeshiva University, what YU's policy is in terms of Yeshiva College and Stern College, if somebody's had the operation and so on. I don't think, as far as I know, they don't have a policy, but it's, I think, only a matter of time before the question comes up. I think it's only a matter of time because it's become so popular, it's not so popular, but it's becoming more, at least accepted in certain circles, and the question is how are people going to respond. So I want to point out, again, you have all kinds of halakhic shilas. Basically, this rabbi, Rabbi Idan ben Ephraim, his point is that in terms of actual status, the person retains his or her original status. But things that have to do with the things that lead to arousal, let's say, things like negiyah, things like which side of the mechitza to sit on, so on and so forth, that for that you have to go by the external appearances, because it's you know, the clothing and dress and so on. So that's basically his derech. And again, you can look this up further. But I think that it's important in assessing this whole thing to recognize, you know, again, the Rabbanim have to work out, and we'll work out what's the halachic status and so on. But, you know, the people who undergo these procedures, and I'm not, I brought with me, I Googled, you know, some you can find this out yourself as well as I, you know, to the extent that there's an attempt to make this very much accepted in society. So I have over here, just I'll read to you, read a little bit. This is just, you know, all within the last number of years. Okay, so here's, and again, you can find this online yourself. Okay, this is from 2014. Cassidy Lynn Campbell, transgender teen, named homecoming queen at a California high school. I used to be a boy, now she was the homecoming queen. And she explained, you know, she took hormone blockers and estrogen injections, et cetera, for the purpose of this transition. Okay. In 2013, transgender student named homecoming queen at the University of Northern Iowa. That's not a high school, that's a university. However, at the same time, there are articles, high suicide risk and prejudice plague transgender people. Okay, many of these people, and again, I'm not a psychologist, but many of these people obviously have issues, if you know, and there's a certain amount, one would assume, again, based, and again, you can, you know, Google sources as well as I can, and find articles and studies, you know, people who have a certain amount of self-loathing or a certain amount of other psychological issues, whether you're considered to be the, you know, disorders or not. Certainly, you know, here's an article from 2015. Transgender teen who was crowned homecoming king dies. Okay, and again, it seems to have committed suicide. So these are, and the suicide rate is markedly higher among these individuals. So it's interesting, while we can say that it's also to undergo the procedure in the first place, and we can say we have to figure out how to deal with the person, technical halachic issues with the get, not where the get goes, by the outer. Again, I think the consensus, the broader view is that one doesn't change against what the Tzitzel Eliezer says, more like Rav Avadya Hodaya said, like the Levi Grossness, Dian Grossness from London said, that you maintain your original status. I think that's the more widespread view. The questions we have to relate to these people, come a point we'll have to relate to these people within the community. Look in source number 54, Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a tshuva. Rabbi Yaakov Emden was a rav in the early 1700s in the cities of Altona, Hamburg. So tshuva shelos yavetz chelek aleph simen kuf ayin aleph. They have a situation where a person was dressing and so on with like a member of the opposite sex, and he felt that you have to notify everyone in the community that this person is not what he seems. Oh, I'm sorry, it's the other way around. She was dressing with a male form, and it says there, Cuba atzma yodeshenu zohar. You know, he knows that this person knows that she knows she's not really a man, but she's dressing up as a man, and she'll, you know, do whatever she's supposed to, what wants to do, and it'll be sexually promiscuous. And kiachshula edus, who knows? You know, they'll think that she's a man, so they'll testify in court. You know, in a court matter where you need male witnesses and so on, or it'll require yibum and so on. Therefore, he says, look towards the end there. Lochem behechrech tzarach lohodia ulefarsumo b'shmo. We have to publicize who this is to remove a stumbling block from the community. He writes, "Hello, who Yosef and Kalman name?" He tells the name of the person, and he says it should, instead of calling him Yosef, which means they should call him Lo Yosef, shouldn't they? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden is very harsh and very, you know, pronounced. He's trying to save people from Isurim. However, we need to bear in mind, as I said before, that we're dealing here at the end of the day with human beings. And my own personal opinion is we have to relate to them as human beings. Whatever issues they may or may not have that prompted this course of action, even if they never underwent the procedure but are thinking about it and so on and so forth, and we have to relate to people as human beings. It's very interesting, not on our subject, but a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein In 55, Igros Moshe, Eben Ezra, Chelek Dalet, Simon Lamed Vav. This is about a woman who was afraid to become pregnant, simply did not want to have children, and they wanted to do the operation, she wouldn't be able to have children. And Rav Moshe Feinstein at first says, never mind, the doctors are scaring her, she should be able to do this again, so I want to have the so-called tubal ligations, the tubes tied so she won't be able to be pregnant. But at the end, look at the end of the tshuva. Acha shekiyu miktaviza heishali ki hu cholechi chola mamesh b'inyonei atzabim. This woman is extremely sick in the area of atzabim, which he translates a nice Hebrew word, nervin, nerves. The person has a nervous disorder. Shu sakana mamish, and it's a danger. Vigam sheher yona mesukan, and the parents will be dangerous, and therefore, vikarosila, but telephone. I myself, Rav Moshe Weitz, called her up on the phone and told her that she should go through this operation, this tubal ligation, in order because it's pikuach nefesh. And so, that opens the door to the suggestion that if there are psychological issues, my point being, we do take into account psychological issues. Halacha, you need someone, in my opinion, of the status of Moshe Feinstein, to be able to allow it. I'm simply pointing out that under certain circumstances, again, it's an isser and everything else, but pikuach nefesh, if they are determined, again, it's a lot that has to be determined. But if it's determined, then there's room perhaps for a different approach. I'll just end the last few sources, very interesting. I mentioned before in Parshas Bereishis, so it says there, again, in Parakeh, it says in 56, Zeh Sefer Tolos Adam B'Yom Bro Elokim Adam B'Nus Elokim Asoso Zohar Nekeba Brom. Right? Man was originally created male and female. Vayikra Shemam Adam. They were called Adam. What do you mean they were called? Their names were Adam. His name was Adam. Her name was Chava. So many people are familiar. The Medrash says in Bereishis Rabbah Parsha Ches Simon Aleph that originally, let's take a look in 57, Amr B'Yirmiya Ben Elozer B'Shoah Shebar Kadosh Baruch Hu Adam Rishna Androgynous Bro. Man was originally created with two bisexuals, so to speak. Okay, the chesiv zoch on a keva baram vayikom eshmam adam etzer. Am reshul barachmon v'shar shabar kadosh baruch hu. Adam rishon diu partzufim bro. It's created with two bodies, so two heads, two faces, male and female. And the Gemara says it as well. Baruchas samach alvan alvan 58. Amar Yirmiyah ben Elozer, same speaker. Du partzufim bro kadosh baruch hu adam arishon shnemar achor v'kadem sartani. A different pasuk. Du partzufim says Rashi shnei partzufim bro tchila echad mufanav echad merachav. One facing one woman, facing the other way. And it's interesting that the Kuzari, Sefer Kuzari, medieval philosopher, Yehuda Halevi, writes in Mamar Daled, Os Chafei 60, the Omer she'ein hefresh b'nitziras ha'zocha v'nakeva, elema she'esh b'ein hara'os, evarein v'hesterim, kvar mavur, zeb nituach, she'var nakeva, kevar ha'zocha, she'em m'pochim el aponim. He mentions very interestingly that many of the characteristics are the same, just the way the organs are created, and one is inside and one is outside. I just want to share with you a very fascinating thing, which is from Rav Soloveitchik Hovach, the Rav. And this is printed in the Chumash Masoras Harav that they came out with a couple of years ago. I was privileged to help edit it. And it says on that pasuk, B'tzelem Elokim Baruch Hu Zoch on a Keva Bara Osam. What is the meaning? I'm reading about Soloveitchik's words because you can't say it better than he does. What is the meaning of the juxtaposition of the reference to the image of God with the creation of man as two sexes? As interpreting the phrase male and female, he created them. Chazal explained that when God initially created Adam, he created him in a dual form, like we just saw. Male and female. In this context, they'd be taken not only in a physiological sense, but also in a spiritual, metaphysical one. Every soul consists of a spiritual androgyny, a male and female persona. The combination of these elements is known in rabbinic literature, it's really Kabbalistic literature, as Duchra v'Nukva, which can be found in every individual. Duchra, that's Aramaic for Zachar, refers to dynamic active man, while Nukva refers to affective passive man. Affected passive man. Man both influences and is influenced. He is both giver and receiver. Only in the biological world is man exclusively male or female. In the spiritual world, every individual carries both traits, and only through the development of both the Duchra and the Nukva perspectives can individuals attain their full spiritual potential. For example, when a teacher instructs his student, he is the giver, the male, the Duchra, while his students who absorb his ideas are the female, the Nukva. At one point in the lesson, however, a perceptive student may ask a particularly incisive question that leads the thoughts of the teacher in new directions. At this juncture, the Duchra Nukva roles are reversed. The student has planted a seed that blooms into a beautiful flower within the mind of his teacher. The young student, with eager eyes and an inquisitive expression, becomes a Duchra, while the teacher, with the gray beard and the august title of Arav Hagaon, is transformed into a Nukva. Who is the giver and who is the receiver? Who influences and who is influenced? As undeveloped as one intellect may be, no one is exclusively a student, and as great as a person may be intellectually, no one is exclusively a teacher. The blessing that God bestowed upon man during creation operates in both the spiritual metaphysical realm as well as in the physical realm. Actualizing the potential of Dukha and Nukva is the greatest and most exalted of blessings. A person must actualize his Nukva blessing to absorb spiritual wealth and beauty. Concurrently, he must actualize the Dukha blessing by using his spiritual energies to give to others, and so on. So the Rav is saying, as I understand it, that all human beings have both qualities in the, not in the physical sense, but in a certain metaphysical or a certain experiential sense. It seems to me, therefore, that when dealing with people who have certain tendencies and now want to transform physically and so on, the way to assist and to help without violating Yisurim is to maybe, and again, I'm not a psychologist, but maybe work with the person to develop, you know, talents in other areas that will allow her male side or his female side or whatever to, you know, to develop further. Maybe won't need the physical piece of it. The Beis Yosef, and with this we'll finish up, the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of Shulchan Aruch, he learned Parshas HaShavua each week with a malach. Many of us read various sheets that they distribute in the shul, or we hear our children tell, but the Beis Yosef had a malach who visited him and shared the Divrei Torah with him on the Parshas HaShavua, and he wrote it up called Sefer called Magid Meisharim, and he speaks about Tamar. Okay, Tamar, from Yehuda and Tamar, you know, the mother of Malchus, that she had male, of course, she was really Nitzotzos, Minishmas, Nekeva. She had, again, it's Kabbalistic, she had female and male, and explains how Yehuda was able to have a baby. You know, we're inside because the hour is late. But it's possible to have a female soul in a male body, and Lehefek, that's what it appears. Saying that Tamar was a female biologically, but she had a male soul. And other Yehuda may have had a male soul and was a female, and so on. These are issues, I think, which can assist us in dealing with the person as a human being. And it should not be forgotten. We don't make fun, we don't mock, and the people undergo difficulties in their lives. And this is another area of difficulty, whether it's technically classified as a disorder or not a disorder. Obviously, there are a lot of things going on in the mind of a person who wishes to undergo such an operation. And hopefully before the person has it, the people who are able to influence whether this man or this woman, whatever it may be, in a way that, you know, there are female sides even to a male, there are male sides even to a female, we just read from the Rav, as we saw from much earlier from Yosef Karo, and let those things come to the front. The last source I printed, source number 62, that's the tshuva from a Rav in Amsterdam, Rabbi Rafal Eifers is his name, tshuvas v'shava rafa chelik bei simon ayin tes. He was asked this question, halacha lamaisa. In our Nishalti Po Kila Kedosha Amsterdam, Halacha Lamaisa Mutu Lakabu Tor Chaver Bekila Seinu. He has a shul like this shul, and the story is, I'll say it outside to save a few minutes, but you can read it yourself. The story is there was a woman. A person was born as a man, and eventually underwent whatever procedure it was to become a woman, and got married to a non-Jew. Was married to this non-Jew for 12 years, and by all physical accounts was a woman, and she lived as the wife of this man, a Catholic and a man. After a number of years of marriage, this man, her husband, the non-Jewish husband, died, and now this individual, after the Goyish husband died, this individual became a Baal Tshuva, a Balas Tshuva. Wanted to come back into the community, started to keep kosher and started to observe Shabbos. And the question was sent to Rabbi Eifers, can we accept a person in our community? And which side do they daven on? And can become a member of the shul? Again, typical type of question. But he sent the shali discuss with Waldenberg, the Tzitz Eliezer. And he quotes in the last paragraph, it's what I want to show you. It says, whatever the surim are, whatever the halachas are, you have to try and bring this person close to Yiddishkeit. It's a Jewish neshama. Whether it's confused, whether lemaisa, it's a Jewish neshama. You have certain halachic issues that have to be worked out, serious halachic issues, but to discard the person, to mock the person, to belittle the person, this is not our derech. And as Waldenberg himself says, you know, whether you give medical guidance, psychiatric guidance, you know, even if this is an aveira that someone underwent the procedures, no different than many other averas that people do. We don't throw a person out just because he or she did averas, okay? And that's what Waldenberg says. And so, again, there are numerous halachic issues I've tried to present. Also tried to present from a halachic point of view with some of the psychological theological or hashkafa issues are. And again, I find that part of the problem is that in today's society it's become glorified. Not only it's acceptable, it's almost glorified with TV shows and public people and so on and so forth. I think this is damaging because it keeps, it pushes people might otherwise be able to be channeled in some of the ways that we mentioned. It prevents them from so doing. And as I said before, the studies are clear of suicide and frustration, everything else. People always have happy lives, and what we have to do is try to the extent that we can help the people have happy lives and become closer to the Torah to the extent that we can. Thank you very much. Questions? Yes.
Yeah. So it seems that most of the references you've made to real life people have been pop culture people, and not Orthodox Jews. Yeah, you cited one. You also seem to gloss over those who disagree with you. The Dorkat Luchot
regarding what?
On page one above specifically cites what to do in the Beis HaKnesses.
Right.
And says that essentially transsexual men should be sitting with the men.
Well, that's what I said. I said for issues that had to do with arousal and so on and so forth, I mentioned that. The issues that have to do with arousal and so on, you have to do with the physical appearances. Yeah,
understood.
That's
not
one of them.
Source sheet, though.
Yeah, because that safer is not in the computer, so I didn't have it in the sources. I apologize.
Okay, so yeah. So this is a three-part question, depending on your answer to the first two.
Okay.
So in the case of a transsexual man, meaning someone assigned female at birth,
right,
age 55, been living in his proper male gender role for 30 years, mm-hmm. wants to get married, would you allow transsexual man, the transsexual man assigned female at birth to you as a female?
Not to me, to what I thought was the majority of the sources. Not
okay,
that I wrote,
yeah. So transsexual male is by you a female. Would you allow the transsexual man to marry another man? He looks like a Hasidic guy from Williamsburg. Would you allow him to marry another man?
Yeah, so no, I would not.
Okay, would you allow him to marry a woman?
No.
So basically this person is relegated to the scrap heap of the Orthodox community?
Again, it's a problem, obviously, but the issue is, and again, it may depend on each individual situation, but to say that if we assume that the person is still a female, he can't marry a woman, even though he may have male organs,
uh-huh.
and if he's a male, but he has female desires and so on, he's not going to be interested in marrying a female, so is he supposed to marry? You know, that's,
well, you're assuming everyone in the world is heterosexual.
I'm not assuming everyone in the world is heterosexual. I'm saying that people have different desires and different tendencies. I don't think that person, either way, is going to be able to get married. I would think not, right? I would think not.
Okay.
Offhand, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All these yisurim, does that extend to a non-Jew?
They extend to a non-Jew? Are they bound by Avatim Lo Sasa? I don't know.
Yeah. The way you were couching this, the only way this could happen,
yeah.
if somebody was over there and did it, then what happens?
They're talking. Gairus. Right.
You
have Gairus. Yeah, so he talks about Gairus also. Yeah. I have to look it up again. I'm sorry. I don't remember. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of this in terms of. You talked a lot about the operation, but a lot of the treatments are hormonal.
I don't think it. Again. So again, there are, to my knowledge, there are different stages that some people actually don't have all the surgical procedures and so on, and they maintain certain organs even after they've, you know, taken whether estrogen or whatever it may be, whichever direction you go. And so you wouldn't violate. That's why I mentioned the two issues. You wouldn't violate the issue of tampering with the organs if the organs weren't tampered with. Although you can tamper through pills also, but if you didn't do that, you didn't cut or sever or damage the organs, so then it would not necessarily be under that prohibition of artzachem lo sasu. But it would still be the issue of klegeber, female dressing and male clothing, male dressing, female clothing, which we expanded beyond beyond just clothing. So I think that would still be a problem. Yeah.
When you're talking about suicide, I think you've got causative effects mixed up here. When you're talking about trans people who are disproportionately, young people who are disproportionately committing suicide, and you're kind of indicating that that's because of a psychological problem.
I'm not a psychologist. There's different opinions. Again, you can search as well as I can. There are different views on that. Which is the chicken and egg issue. Okay, which came first? It's not so clear, at least based on the articles that I've read.
It seems pretty obvious to me that when children are treated and ostracized and bullied the way these children are, that obviously they're going to be suicidal.
Right, but the point is that they have... Right, but well, what I was simply pointing out was that, based on the studies that I read, undergoing the procedure didn't help. In other words, it didn't solve the problem. That's what I'm trying to point out. In other words, whether they had issues before, then they underwent and, you know, the sex change operation or whatever, the suicide, you know, rate remained higher or was higher. So I'm saying it didn't necessarily solve the issue.
Okay. Let's.
Yeah.
Put that kind of aside. How I would define someone who's trans is somebody who is born in the wrong body, right? You know, someone who feels male but is born in a female body, or, you know, feels female but born in a male body. And what they're trying to do, whether they're using hormones, or whether they're using surgery, whether they're clothing, or anything else, is they're trying to make their external appearance agree with who they know they are inside. From everything I've heard, you don't believe in that as a concept. You're saying whether it might be the secondary sex characteristics or it might be the chromosomes, those might be defining from the male to female. What I didn't hear you say is someone's internal feeling, just who I feel I am,
Right. I frankly did not see among any of the sources that I... Yeah.
You don't believe
in it. Well, it's not a matter of not believing in. I mean, people can have certain feelings and so on. The question is, from the point of view of a person's status in halacha, does what a person feels, you know, and what led to those feelings, does that change, you know, the so-called birth assigned sex and so on and so forth? I didn't see that the person's thoughts or the person's feelings made a difference. At least in the sort... No, Ramosha, right. So, but Ramosha says it is a disorder. Yeah. Ramosha Feinstein wrote that a person, he was talking about a different case, but I tried to apply it. Ramosha Feinstein, the person had this nervous, he referred to as a nervous condition, then he allowed under those circumstances. So if, I said before, I would not rule on such a case myself. But if somebody has, it's been demonstrated that because of these feelings and so on, that you refer to, it's dangerous for such a person, or it's you know, the life could be in danger. The way that Moshe Feinstein said that the woman wanted to have her, you know, the tubal ligation, so then Moshe allowed it. I think you have to have the shoulders of Moshe Feinstein or someone like that to be able to say that. I wouldn't be comfortable. I would never rule on such a thing myself. I'm not comfortable. My shoulders are not broad enough. Yeah.
It's clear that you have a number of sources, a great deal of sources, mm-hmm. that have done a ton of research. I'm curious if you've had the opportunity to speak one-on-one with transgender individuals, and if so, in particular, if you've had the opportunity to speak with transgender Jewish individuals, transgender Jewish Orthodox individuals.
I personally have not. I've been spoken to or called by at least two different people I know who have been approached, but I personally have not.
If I could offer my experience as a licensed clinical social worker is that mm-hmm. all the research that I can do really comes to life when I'm able to speak with someone who is going through that experience. So if you would ever have the opportunity to speak with someone, I think it might...
I'd be quite happy to speak with somebody, but again, I want to mention the halakhic sources that I cited, some of them were written by people who indeed did deal directly with those people. I'm simply relating what they said. So the Shaila that the last... the person wrote about Eifers was did you know read inside. He dealt with the case himself. It came to him as the rabbi. So I was simply relating from sources and people who did speak directly, though I personally have not. Yeah.
Well, one of the issues that I think you gave very short shrift to, very perfunctorily at the end of the drash, was the fact that these people are indeed people and they need to be brought into the Jewish community and kept in the Jewish community and treated with kavod v'riyot. And for example, when you repeatedly referred to Caitlyn Jenner by her previous name, or tried to make light of that, you display a lack of this. This same lack is what is displayed to transgender or other LGBT people in the community. As the parent of a child who is gay and who has been put up against this over and over again, the absolute lack of kavod briyot by those in power who can speak to this, and then turn it's like I'm going to push them away with the left hand and gather them right, but really it's pushing away with both hands, because you have to say,
I have to say, absolutely,
the halacha may say it's us to do X, Y, and Z, and those people who are transgender certainly understand or are led to understand if they wish to remain religious. Those people are gay. Obviously we aren't talking about homosexuality.
That's not the topic.
Those people are gay. But here you have the issue of you have to remind these people, you have to display kavod briyot uniformly to these people and say, okay, fine, so you want to go by a different name, I'll accept that. Look, there are serious issues with whatever it is, and we're going to work on you, we're going to work on this one-on-one with you with kavod and with ahava. And
I thought I made that quite clear.
At the end of the speech, in about 1 minute, you spent the rest of the shiur talking about Yisurin in particular, and we understand that there are a lot of halakhic.
I did not measure the time, okay, but I thought I made it very clear. You know, reading what Rabbi Soloveitchik said, and reading what the Beis Yosef said, and reading what the last tshuva said, I thought I made it quite clear that we have to treat them as human beings.
Referring to Caitlyn Jenner by her previous name is actually an insult to her, and you speak derisively of her in this fashion. Yes,
I take exception to that. I did not speak derisively of her in any way.
When you refer to her by her previous name.
Because that was for reference purposes. I was not referring to her by any name. As a matter of fact, recently I read that she was interested in possibly going back. I don't know. I'm not following her story that carefully. I don't know her.
From the point of view of someone who is listening carefully,
yeah.
To these things because yes. I have to listen to them. For the sake of my children,
yeah.
Who are constantly being put off by those in positions of power like you, I have to be listening very, very.
I don't believe I was putting anybody off. And again, I ended with a note. That was my final point. My final point was that these are human beings and should be treated as such. And I thought I made it quite clear.
And had we started it all the way through, and it was lacking until the very end. By saying at the very end, oh, by the way, these are human beings.
I did not present it as, oh, by the way. I was asked to give an overview of the halachic issue. And halachic issues are mostly dealing with the halachic issues. I decided to end as the crescendo, so to speak, that we do have to treat them as human beings, and I felt that I make that clear. If I did not, I'll say publicly that it was not my intention at all. I don't know if you were, you know, listening with the idea of, you know, that I wasn't going to do that, but at the end I built up to that point, and I thought that I said, and I believe I said quite clearly, that despite the fact that there are halakhic issues, these people are absolute human beings. So I will clarify that now for your sake, and the sake of anybody else who may not have heard it, that I believe that we do have to deal with these people with the warmth, and that's the last thing I quoted. The very last source was Rav Eifers' point from the Tzitz Eliezer, that and I believe that's 100% correct. So if I wasn't clear, I do apologize. It was not my intention. Yeah.
First, I have to say I appreciate your halachic overview, and I personally did appreciate your editing in a very sensitive way that really brought the concept here and really tried to indicate as a rabbi in the community and as a yeshiva of a boys' high school that you do show the sensitivity as needed.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering. You did quote, of course, the Tzitz Eliezer, who, as the Rebbe Shaul said, that certainly came into a lot of these shaylos. You quoted Rav Moshe, but I assume Rav Moshe was not asked this particular.
No, Rav Moshe's tshuva was about someone, again, a woman who didn't want to become pregnant.
Right.
But my point in quoting Rav Moshe was to show that psychological or nervous conditions can impact a halachic decision. But I stress, as I answered to the woman before, I think it has to be someone like Rav Moshe Feinstein, you know, with that kind of halachic clout to be able to give a ruling in such a case. I wouldn't undertake it myself.
So I'm just wondering, in terms of post-game, so why then Rav Moshe clearly wasn't asked this particular shaylah? Quoted Yaskil Avdi, who's not that well known.
Right, it's fine.
Was there a variety of Seth?
I don't know. I don't know of any tshuva. It could be he was. I don't know of any other tshuva. In the Sefer Dor Tapuchos that I have here, he has statement, but it's in the back. He has a few. Has something about Rosh Weiss, but it's not directly on this subject. So I don't know. I'm not saying there aren't. And probably if you search on, you can probably find. Again, Rav Avdi Yosef, and I did look to the extent that I could through his tshuvas, you know, and indices and so on. I did not find that he dealt with it directly. I could be wrong. I did not find. Yeah.
Stern College had a professor that transitioned from male to female.
Yeah, less than a decade ago.
One of the rabbanim up at YU said the most vile things about this woman. And
so there are people who are not as sensitive. There are people who, again, you know, it's a complicated area, because part of the problem is, as I said before, my own opinion, and somebody asked me if I've ever dealt with. So as the head of the yeshiva, so we have a guidance department in our school, and I do know that and based on the rules of privacy, Rav Adler can attest to this as well. So you know, things are not brought to the principal of the Rosh Hashiva when boys talk, or girls in the girls' schools or whatever talk to guidance staff, and that's the way it should be. You know, so I'm aware of the fact that there are kids who have come to the guidance council with issues in this general sphere. I don't know who they are, and nor should I. The only time the principals of the Rosh Hashiva are brought in is if there's concern for danger either to the person, or from that person to others, a person to himself or herself to others. That's obviously a different situation. You have to get parents involved and so on. But do I know that there are people undergoing these thoughts, what the lady in the back mentioned before, you know, assigned to the wrong, feeling differently and so on and so forth? I'm aware that these things are going on. I think, however, that, you know, it's one thing to be sensitive, and it's important to be sensitive. Not just about, I don't remember which rabbi said what at the time, maybe I wasn't aware, but you know, the problem is that the glorification of it in society, I think it is over-glorified, because at the end of the day, at least at the moment, as far as I know, and again, you can do these searches as well as I can, there are not so many people who have undergone these procedures and so on at this point. And, you know, to glorify it the way it's glorified as something which is not only, not only acceptable, but more than acceptable, it's a good thing and so on and so forth, you know, I think can end up misleading people. And we discussed it, this year, so we want to keep people away from Yisurim, and I think it can be misleading, and I think it creates a great amount of confusion in young people today, in high schools and so on. There's a great amount of confusion about it, because the Torah says one thing, but on the other hand, this is in society, and it's just another thing which our society and sometimes the Torah are not in sync, and that just creates a lot of confusion in the minds of a lot of young people. I think that's not a good thing overall. So you have to balance being sensitive, with being clear about your beliefs and your position when it comes to halacha. Yeah.
Okay. The New York Post, September 8th, 2008, regarding Joy Ladin, the Rosh Yeshiva of Moshe Tendler was quoted as, quote, "He's not a woman, he's a male with enlarged breasts. He's a person who represents the kind of amorality which runs counter to everything Yeshiva University stands for. There is just no leeway in Jewish law for a transsexual. There is no need for he can hide out as a female without being in massive violation of Torah law, Torah ethics, and Torah morality. Do you think that lack of kavod habrios is something that..."
I it's not my place to criticize Rabbi Tendler or anybody else. Rabbi Tendler is certainly one of the great halachic authorities and a medical authority, and has been consulted worldwide on issues. Quotes in a newspaper have been known to be taken out of context in the past.
Really?
I believe, yes. Okay, I think we're aware that the newspapers don't always report things exactly the way they were said. But Rabbi Tendler's point that the person is in violation of Torah law, well, we discussed that already. I think Rabbi Tendler is correct about that. Now,
Violated a media blackout at Yeshiva University.
You violated what?
There was a media blackout. They were told not to talk to the press.
I can't comment. It's not fair for me to say. I wasn't there. He didn't ask me first. He didn't talk to me about it. But to say that it was against halacha, so he's right. As I said to the gentleman in the back, you have to balance, and kavod habrios is a tremendous value, and sensitivity. And again, I apologize to the gentleman over here if I didn't make it as clear as I thought I had. It's a tremendous value, but adhering to our belief in Torah and mitzvahs and the halachic system is also a tremendous value. To a great extent, there's sometimes conflict, and there are people on both sides who will overreact and will overstate the case. It doesn't make it right, but I think it should be understood in that context as well.
I want to thank Rabbi Tauber for his... discuss it further privately. I'm sure he'll be happy to do so. But as always, it's a pleasure to have him and present it in the scholarly fashion that we always do.
Thank you.